The reading is taken from Titus, verse 2, 1 to 13, on page 1199 in the Pew Bibles. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Anne. This is the last talk about Titus that we're going to have for a while, I think. So in some cases, maybe we go back over some things that other people have said because this portion comes right in the middle of Titus. And if we think about Titus was sent to Crete because there are people in the church who claim they knew God, but from the way they act, it was clear that they didn't. And Titus knew that effective teaching requires the teacher's conduct to be consistent with the teaching given. So it's no good someone's coming and saying, "I'll do this, do that, the other." And when you look at their life, they don't do any of it. That's just empty. I mean, it's a form of words, but it's important that we put our Christian faith into action. And Titus, he was quite experienced. He'd already dealt with serious problems in church life when Paul sent him to Corinth, because Paul had been in Corinth and then he heard that bad things were going on. And he sent Titus to go and see if he could put it right. And when Titus came back, the first mention of Titus, I think, in the Bible, well, one of them, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7, verses 6 and 7, they said, God refreshed Paul by the arrival of Titus with news of the wonderful time he had with the Corinthians. So Titus was able to go into a difficult situation where some things weren't right, and he had the gift to in fact get people to put it right without putting everybody's back up. And so they were, the people in Corinth were very, very happy to do what Titus was telling them to do and to put some things right which Paul had seen was wrong in their Christian lives. Paul wrote at the beginning of this section, he said to Titus, speak up for right living that goes along with true Christianity. So here is the core of what he wants to tell them is, if you, well, a lot of people claiming to be Christians, they must be living in the right way that goes with being a true Christian. So then he says, it's at the end of the passage we're going to look at, but he says, for grace has become visible, made an appearance. And this section at the end was the reason for everything else that happened in between. And he said, grace has become visible. There's been an epiphany. They actually use the word epiphany. So an epiphany is a moment of sudden insight or understanding, in this case, of what grace means for Christians. So something impacted on them. Paul saw this light coming into their life. For the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone, and the following instructions have been given to the church. So this is a tremendous thing that Paul saw this picture of this great light dawning, and the people in Crete had the opportunity to participate in it, and in fact this good news of Jesus' grace, the love without condition shown to us, the willingness to accept us, even though we've been doing bad things. This was this shining light which he wanted made known in the Cretan church, because if you understood that, then you couldn't be doing bad things. If you realized this tremendous light which had come in to the church, how could you be turning to doing bad things or thinking it didn't matter what you do? So if we go to the next one, please. So this is the light has come. This is a nice sunrise. And if we go on now. So what instructions for Christian living does Paul give to follow? So first of all, he said something whose age and experience leads to strong influence on the church. What's written here, he quantified it in terms of men and women. But if we look at our churches now, the men and women are intermixed in what they do. And so it's not a simple separation. But so we take these as those who have age and experience, and they're having a strong influence on the church, and it could be either a man or a woman. So if we go to the next one. So what's their instructions? So be temperate. So it's not have too much strong drink, but keeping a clear head at all times, unruffled, able to cope with adversity. So this is saying, it's maybe not the most obvious characteristics that you would said for what people should, but you can understand it, because if you've got people who are like this, who've experienced adversity, who know how to control themselves, who don't get upset and do silly things when something goes wrong, it's one of the foundations of sound Christian living. And it says, your life has got to be worthy of respect. You need to be self-controlled. And this is in all these epistles, there's always talks about people being self-controlled. So it's not losing, if you lose a temper, don't let it get out of hand. Control it. Know how to deal with it. And sound in faith and love. And have endurance, that you just don't give up. So this is what the people are called to. And the older people. So if we go on to the next set. So then the people who are, we would say now, strong supporting roles. And it's in the church in Crete, it was the women, but older women. But in our case, it will be either man or woman. If we go on, what are they able to do? So they've got to live their lives suitable to a sanctified person. Someone who is serving God in their picture of where they were surrounded by people going into temples, or serving God in the right way, in a holy manner, that they were felt acceptable in God's temple. And they were staying in communion with God. So it's like there's no option of opting out. If you're not necessarily doing a leading thing in the church, it doesn't mean that you opted out from having a relationship with God. It's important that you do. They weren't to be slanderers, so they were given to gossip. Cretans were given to gossip and given to drinking too much. And so you're looking for your people in your church not to be conditioned by the environment where they were living, but to be conditioned by God and led to live holy lives. It doesn't mean say you don't go out and do anything or you become a monk, but it says that you have, you're living day by day linked to God. So he's controlling what you're doing. And in fact, the teaching in the home, it had to be, they had to teach what was good. So in fact, they had a responsibility throughout the week. It wasn't just on the Sundays. That in fact, to be teaching and helping the younger people in their home. So if we go on now to the next group. So help for young mothers, importance of married life. If we go on. So in Paul's time, the newlyweds were to be given help by the more mature women, resulting in a pattern of the women's life which really was for that area and for some time afterwards, but it's not so much for now, because now young women will want to do more than just stay at home. And it's no, and to say it's wrong is not the case. It's, God calls people to do all sorts of things, but in fact the vision of what the women can do is much more enlarged over what it was. But it doesn't alter the fact that the home life of the man, the young men and the young women, is a very important part of how they wanted people to behave. They're not unimportant. And so the pattern in Paul's time was young women will learn to be devoted to their husband, devoted to children. In this day and age, husband and wife share the responsibilities and so need to be devoted to each other and the children. The wife may have a career, etc., as God leads. So it's, in fact, it puts more on the young men as well as the young women, and to work together, to be self-controlled and pure, so know how to live and deal with the feelings you get when you're young. If we go to the next slide. To be busy in domestic arrangements. I mean, now the husband may have to help as well. Certainly, this is not saying that in this day and age that young women should just be working in the kitchen. And the wife to submit to the husband. This was at the time so as to not allow the non-Christians to criticise the behaviour of wives in Paul's era. So it was that they didn't want the church, the marriages to be criticised because they were living differently to the expectations of what the people around them thought were the good way to behave. But in fact, now wife and husband should be considerate to each other so that the neighbours see good in Christian marriages. So the important thing is that the people see good in our marriages. And as a church, we should consider how to help those who have got the young children and growing up, because it's not an easy life. And the passages that support this, it says, it's in Ephesians 5, it talks about the man and wife, submit yourselves to one another because of your reverence for Christ. And in Galatians, Paul was saying that, remember, man and wife are all in one in union with Jesus before God. So there is nowhere here is a license for husbands to maltreat their wives or to take advantage of them. There should be a joining together and a caring for each other, which is fitting for Christians. So the poor young men, Titus was one of these, and he was called to be an example of good deeds. And of course, it's, now we say the young men and the young women would be like this. So they wanted people around them to see the youngsters doing good. And in our church, our youngsters doing good. It's important that the whole church, from the youngest to the oldest, do things together. And again, there's this encouragement to be self-controlled. So Titus was the right age to relate to the young men. And he'd been trusted with difficult missions. He originally, the first time, he went to see the Jewish Christian leaders at Jerusalem with Paul, when Paul was describing about how he was preaching to the Gentiles. And Titus was the only non-Greek with Paul, and they didn't make Titus become do Jewish things. And so Titus was challenged to demonstrate soundness of speech, that what he, when he was talking, that his words would be logical, that people could understand what he was saying, and it wasn't a lot of mumbo jumbo or sort of strange things, esoteric ideas, but to stick to the truth and to explain it clearly. So if we can go on now, so then we come, which we don't have now, is the slaves. And if you go on again, but if we read what it says to the slaves, it very easily translates into those who are working for a living. If you look what he is challenged to do, it's submit to your masters and please them in everything. That's maybe. No answering back, no stealing from the master, show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God attractive. And so that last thing is about what we're talking about, how we should be living our Christian lives. We should be behaving in a way which makes the teaching about God attractive. We have to realise that the way we live, it affects what people see around us, and we can't claim to be one thing on Sunday and a different thing in the week. We have to do, the two have to match together. And so we come back to this thing about grace becoming visible. Grace instructs us to give up ungodly living and worldly passions, day after day looking forward to when Jesus' glory will be seen. If we've understand how much love, how much kindness, how much mercy God's shown us, then we will want to do what he wants to do and prepare ourselves for the future. And so grace teaches us to be self-controlled in our inner thoughts, so be careful about what we think about. Upright in our actions, the way we deal with people, not to treat them badly or without respect. And living godly lives and dealing with God. So having a true faith, something is real, not pretend. And so that's the challenge. So if we look now, the last slide, I think, is the grace that has come into our lives, that shines in our lives. And that should, if that gets into our lives, then it should seep out and produce the right effect.